Peter Sandman, Corona 28, Part 2, Suppression versus Balance.
Three questions that come to mind. First really goes back to something a couple of readers sent me, which was sort of the, goes along with this narrative. They said, well, there's only one answer. It's better for everybody, for the economy, for quality of life, for quantity of life, for everybody to lock down for a long time, and then it'll all go away and be better, and then we won't have to worry about it. And, you know, so there's no balance. There's no need for balance, because lockdowns are the answer, because they'll suppress the virus, and then once they're lifted, you know, we won't have a problem. And so you impatient person that want to go back to life too early are the problem, not the, and so I wondered if you can address that, because I think that is believed by many well-educated people, and that if we just had the patience and the endurance to lock down a little longer, we could have, really, really conquered this thing, and then we could all have quantity of life, economy, quality of life, the whole thing.
I mean, the bottom line answer, Faye, is they are right if they are right. All of history says that the deus ex machina isn't going to happen. That we are not going to get a pharmaceutical miracle by the end of the year. If we get a pharmaceutical miracle by the end of the year, it would be miraculous enough to get any vaccine by the end of the year, but to get a vaccine that works spectacularly well, even on the elderly, even on the immunosuppressed, even though 30 or 40% of the population will refuse to be vaccinated, so we're not going to be able to rely on herd immunity, we're actually going to have that. The vaccine work on the people who are vaccinated, even if they're my age. The idea that we'll have any vaccine by the end of the year would be a miracle. But as the saying goes, things that have never happened before happen all the time. So it is possible that we will have a pharmaceutical miracle soon. And if we're going to have a pharmaceutical miracle soon, then lockdown until the miracle makes perfectly good sense. If this is all going to be over in January, anybody who dies between now and January, because Peter and Faye were impatient, whether it's impatient to get our kids and grandkids back to school, or it's impatient to go to the dentist, or it's impatient to go to a bar and have a drink, or it's impatient to be employed again.
Right.
I mean, some of those sources of impatience matter more than others.
Yes.
But none of them make sense if it's all going to be over in January. If it's all going to be over in January, the thing that makes sense is to go put the whole world on hold until January, or as close to that as we can possibly get it. Anyone who dies between now and January is on our head for being impatient, if we're going to have a pharmaceutical miracle. But the smart money is betting we're not going to have a pharmaceutical miracle. You work for one, you spend billions of dollars on one, and we have a better shot than ever before because we're spending more, and we have CRISPR and other tools. A pharmaceutical miracle is likelier than it's ever been, and it's still unlikely.
Yeah.
But it is the only rationale for not being balanced. Every pandemic plan I ever worked on assumed that pandemics last a few years until they go away by themselves. That sometimes it just goes away. Some kinds of pandemics maybe you can suppress, or you can suppress in some places. If you're New Zealand, you can suppress it because you're an island and you can close your borders, and you're small and relatively unpopulated. SARS you can suppress because nobody or very, very few people transmit SARS until they're really sick. So they transmit it almost entirely to caregivers, to to family members taking care of you at home or to healthcare workers in hospitals. So you know SARS could be suppressed because there was no asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic transmission. But the smart money is betting that COVID-19 cannot be suppressed, and that it's probably going to be with us for a few years, we will get vaccines, and the vaccines will help, but they won't be completely effective, and the pandemic is still going to be with us. If you're proceeding, if you're building policy on the assumption that the pandemic is going to be with us for a few years, then balance has got to be your metaphor, or as Tomas Puyo introduced the, his essay, The Hammer and the Dance, wonderful essay, and he introduced the idea that you have to dance with the virus. And that means, you institute precautions enough to keep your hospitals functioning, and you keep your most vulnerable people as sequestered as you can. But you keep your economy going and you keep your way of life going. And when the curve goes up, you institute a few more precautions. And when the curve flattens again, you take those precautions off, and you're dancing with the virus. You're trying to balance infection control against having an economy and having a way of life and having mental health and all the other things you care about as a society. That's what you do if it's going to last a few years or longer. What you do if it's got a couple of months to go is much closer to lockdown. So that's an absolutely crucial question, and it's not like we know the optimists are right.
But
what we know is that it's very optimistic to think lockdown makes sense. Lockdown isn't thought of as optimistic because, the rationale for lockdown sounds very pessimistic about, if you don't lock down, you're going to get infected, and if you get infected, you'll probably die. I mean, there's the people who are pro-lockdown tend to sound very alarmist about getting sick, but they are implicitly very optimistic about the time frame. That you can't be pro-lockdown unless you think this is going to end soon. So there's an unstated optimism, which then gets stated when you ask them about vaccination and they tell you how, what wonderful progress is being made. The one thing the lockdown people have in common with the Trump administration is enthusiasm about vaccine progress.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, I think that that some of the people who contacted me were more, the narrative they believe was that the lockdowns themselves can end this, that they are the tool and we just need to use more of them. We just needed more of it, that then we could vanquish the thing. And they point to countries in Europe that maybe locked down harder and longer than we did and now seem to have flattened, suppressed the virus to a lower level than we have. And so, I think their optimism is based not on, let's wait till there's a vaccine, but let's just do it until we have the virus under control, though that's a very vague term. I'm not sure, that it's scientifically definable. But that is more the narrative that, we'll kind of know it when we see it. We just have to keep doing it till we get it really low, till we crush the curve.
Well, I mean, I think you can make a case that, New Zealand suppressed the virus. I mean, they have, as far as we know, no cases. But in order to suppress the virus and keep the virus suppressed, you have to close your borders.
Yeah. And you have to be an island.
It's just not so that Europe suppressed the virus. Europe had more successful lockdowns than we did, not mostly because they were longer, but mostly because when they came out of lockdown, they came out more slowly and with better preparation to not to suppress the virus, but to dance with the virus. So European countries, or many European countries, have better contact tracing than we have. They do a better job when they find a contact who's been exposed of actually quarantining that person. I think it's much closer to the truth to say Europe is doing a better job than the U.S. of dancing with the virus than to say that Europe suppressed the virus. New Zealand suppressed the virus.
I think that is a really important point, and I think that may be sort of the unrealistic optimism that if only we were as wonderful as New Zealand and if we were as devoted to each other, we would have suppressed the virus too. And I don't, you know, and if only it weren't for all those people that want to go to the beach, we would have suppressed the virus. And
those are the same people who say it's xenophobic to want to close your border.
Yes, they did say that, remember, in February? Yes.
You can't have it both ways.
You can't have it, no.
New Zealand suppressed the virus by killing its biggest industry, tourism. That was essential to New Zealand suppressing the virus. A big, diverse country. I mean, look, theoretically, if everybody in the world, literally everybody in the world, stayed isolated for a few weeks, for the period that's required by the nature of the virus itself, if we all stayed isolated enough, the virus wouldn't be able to transmit from anybody to anybody because everybody's locked in his or her own room. And if everyone in the whole world stays locked in a room, and no exceptions, then then we would have suppressed the virus worldwide. It would disappear.
Yes.
That's a valid thought experiment. The thing is, we can't meet those specs.
Everybody who needed nursing home care would die.
Yes. We have hospitals, and we have prisons, and we have immigrants, and we have we're much too porous a society to suppress the virus. We can't do that. Now, we might be able to do that with the help of a very effective vaccine. But the idea of doing that without a vaccine, I think, is a pipe dream.
Let's sort of go back. I know when we talked in May, we talked about the fact that there were better options for the parts of the United States that weren't seeing overwhelmed hospitals, that weren't seeing huge rises in cases. And Texas might count as one of those places. And Arizona was not seeing a lot of cases then. And so I'm wondering, what would have been the right approach? It looked like they actually had that they had a lot of time to get ready. Do you think that that what's happening with them now is explained by the fact that they came out of lockdown too soon, or that they didn't find any kind of sustainable contact tracing or other approach to dealing with it?
I don't think they came out of lockdown too soon. I think they went into lockdown too soon. And I think they came out of lockdown too carelessly. And I think they frittered away the time they had during lockdown that should have been spent getting ready better for coming out of lockdown. I hasten to add that none of that is a risk communication judgment. You look at all the things that you should do after lockdown: social distancing, masks, especially where social distancing isn't feasible, especially indoors. Canceling mass events, hand washing, of course, widespread testing, and turnaround time on your tests. contact tracing of the people who test positive and quarantining the contacts, expanding your hospital surge capacity, expanding your supplies of personal protective equipment, sequestering especially vulnerable populations, particularly nursing homes and other congregate settings. It's not like I'm making that up. That's everybody's list of what you do in order to manage a pandemic without having to lock down. That's what, arguably, you can make a case that it was too late for New York. New York had to lock down. It had done all those things but hadn't locked down. The virus was spreading so explosively that even doing all of those things wasn't good enough and you had to lock down. But you can't make that case for South Dakota, and you can't make that case for Texas. At the time when New York locked down, most of the rest of the country had way less viral spread. I'm not a virologist, I'm not an epidemiologist, but from everything I've read, if they'd done all those things that I just listed, they wouldn't have had to lock down. That's part point one. If they weren't ready to do all those things that I've listed, maybe it made sense to lock down while they got ready.
Yes.
But what they did is lock down and not get ready.
Yes.
And then when the economy, and people's sort of emotional stability couldn't tolerate lockdown anymore, they came out of lockdown and they still weren't ready. So now you look at Texas, and maybe Texas is where, I don't want to say Texas is where New York was in April, because it's not. It's not nearly as bad as New York was in April. And for one thing, hospital treatment is way better than we knew how to do in April. So, Texas does not replicate New York. But if you imagine that Texas is in such bad shape that it has to lock down now, and I don't know if that's true or not, but if that's true, Texas is going to have a very hard time locking down now because it locked down in April.
Right.
It not only frittered away the time of lockdown to get ready, but it frittered away the lockdown. It exhausted the population's emotional and economic capacity for lockdown before it was needed and without use.